right, everybody. I'm on Twitter here, checking the trends. Again, I'm not getting, I guess I'm my skill figuring out loading Twitter, find trends. I don't know. I think they change their interface or something every once in a while, and I say, where the hell are the trends? So this time I'm getting the full, like, the trend with, like, additional English and stuff, but that'll be fine. That should be fine. I'm trying to get ahead on shows, so it's 8:09 here. Or 8:09. What's the date? August 11th. So you'll probably be hearing this around August, 2 weeks from now. August, what's 14? 11 plus 14 is what, 25? Maybe you'll hear it sooner, maybe not. So it's trending Twitter Tuesday, and it was interesting because I was, I got myself into a situation with, because, you know, with the podcast, I said, man, I got a job, and then I got the podcast. They both take equal amount of my time, but just different. I said, so they both take, like, an equal amount of my time, but, like you say, like, who knows, but not not overlapping, except at, like, lunch and during the commute. I'm working on the podcast, writing and editing stuff, but then... And then I said, well, she said, you know, I've always wondered, can I do this podcast as a job? What can I, you know, and I've had to, I said, and then I'm like, well, just be patient, Scooter. And I'm not much of a business person. We've talked about business before and how me and business have not gone well. And this isn't a good or bad thing. This is a gray area thing, so I don't want anybody to have a knee-jerk reaction, but I'm not someone that's motivated by money, and that actually is not a good thing, necessarily. Because it's probably not, it's not out of altruism, it's just out of fear. I'd like, geez, I don't want to think about money. I just want to pay the bills, and that stuff. So I'm not good with, I can't do sales-type stuff. And also have bad temper, resentment, and fear. And I say, geez, how the heck did I get a ton of anger and a ton of fear? That's why I don't run a business. It's just not in my, it's not my forte. But I've said, geez, I'd like to do, I'd like to figure out a way with these stories or this podcast to at least only work 40 or 50 hours a week instead of 90, you know, and I'm being patient about it. But you got, like, a lot of people in this podcasting world that are in it, and their minds are more focused. Okay, well, here's some good ways to make money at your podcast. And they say, well, geez, you know, a lot of it is, you know, one, leverage your skills you already have. Like, if you're an entertainer, you leverage the audience you've already built up. You leverage that you're already entertaining. And you see a lot of success. You see, like, people making a success about it. Like, I think about the guys running Wolf Pop or Scott Aukerman, Paul Scheer, Matt Gourley, you know, or other guys that I personally look up to, like Tom Merritt, the McElroy brothers. Sidney McElroy, Dr. Sidney McElroy, and then, you know, people that are doing the podcast as a educational thing, like John August and Craig Mazin. But then you say, well, geez, Scooter, hey, none of them are making, some of them are making a decent amount of money at it, but they're also doing other stuff, you know, that's not their primary source of income. So I say, okay, oh boy. So you tell me, I say, okay, what's our plan B then? And I say, okay, hello. I said, what's our plan B here, boys? And I said, well, geez, I could just sing that song from that Ricky Schroeder show. Maybe one day I'd be like Ricky Schroeder from Silver Spoons. Like, here we stand face to face, just a couple of silver spoons. Hoping fine. We're two of a kind. Making it all, taking it all together. We're gonna find our way. Do 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 together. Taking the time each day to learn about those things you just can't buy. We're silver spoons together. You and I. And then that part of my brain says, well, Scooter, how are we going to use that? And I say, well, hold on. Wasn't Ricky Schroeder, wasn't the plot of that, like, he got thrown out of military school and he was estranged from that guy who owned, like, FAO Schwartz took him in. John Houseman was there to say things. I think he was friends with Jason Bateman. And he had a train that went around the house. And that worked super out pretty sweet, you know. And I think they might have owned a candy store, like, at the front of their house or something. I'm not positive on any of those facts. So that was one of my plan B originally. I said, okay, well, okay, silver spoon plan. Find a rich person similar to the silver spoons guy. And you know, have them hire you to brush their teeth. I joked, but you know, do a bedtime story, 10 G's a pop, and you know, make sure you have a no perversion clause. Maybe bring a bodyguard, or at least a witness to say, well, yeah, I had to tase him because he touched my forearm, and it's in the tase, you know. I said clearly that I don't want my forearms being touched by anyone. That I'm, you know, in a professional, this is a professional environment. The officer said, okay, you're a professional, but I don't buy any of this. And then TMZ got involved. And this poor guy, he's like, I haven't been on TV, and, you know, I just was on Silver Spoons. So I guess formal apology to that guy. I know his name, I think his name's Joel. Something. So Joel, I apologize for making you, I said it was free, you know, I said normally, I think they call it in kind or something, I said, you know, you're my pilot program, and he said, how did you find me? But that's not true, no, I would never do that, like that. I would, you know, say, you know, make up a more, I said, well, I'm with the International Sleep, Experimental Council on Sleep. We need to set up it. But anyway, none of that's important. Most of that is sealed in this, that state. So don't worry about it. Forget I said anything about that. But it turns out there's not a large portion of people that listen to this podcast that have 10, multiple, you know, stacks of $10,000 that aren't forearm touchers. You know, they say, well, Scooter, yeah, then I can do a little forearm. And I say, no, there'll be no forearm rubbing. I don't even want your body heat transferring to my body heat, you know, at a distance of, I don't know how many, what a meter is. But I said, and then I said, just listen to the podcast. It's free. Keep your 10,000, all right? And I said, darn that anger and resentment, blew it again. That's why I'm not a business person. So that was plan B. Did not work out. But that's what a lot of people said. We got to find a way to, you know, soak the rich people that listen to the podcast. And so I said, I tried that. And then the next thing they say is come up with a product and sell it to your audience, you know. And I said, like, it was, you know, with false hope. I said, they said you can't say that out loud. And I said, with false hope, you sell them false hope. And I said, oh, wait, this is just me imagining having a conversation with these people. But they say, make a product. You know, usually you charge a grand for it. And it's like, I said, well, I don't know if I'm comfortable. This is again why I'm not a business person. They said, if there is a business that involves soothing my fears and expressing, you know, and I guess that's the Midler app, where, you know, I said, geez, that I can't make money off that. So then I said to myself, I said, Scooter, And they said, when the hell did I start calling myself Scooter in my private life? And then something said something back, and I said, then I had to curl up in a ball for a while. And I said, oh no. And BK said, but then I said, and I just said, it was just, you know, new muscle memory, new pathway burned in the plasticity of my brain. So then I said, okay, well, I said, I could be, I have a plan D, which is a B, but I don't want to air that plan D because that one's, that's in the day. I said, well, I have a fear of being, you know, out there. And they said, but Scooter, you got all these characters that come on your show. What about a new, I said, what about birthday, children's birthday parties or something like that? And I said, oh, geez, I said, oh boy, who said that? That is gold. And then I started running through what I said, okay, what kind of costumes we got saved up here? And then I said, the old lab coat. It's time to bring out the old lab coat. And so I put on the old, I went in the closet, I put on the old lab coat, which is the old, it's an old lab coat that I said, that I keep. It just had a long tradition since when I was trick-or-treating. They said a lab coat's all, if you don't know what you're going to be for Halloween and you got a lab coat, you got no problems. And I'm not talking about just being a doctor, you know. At one time, oh boy, personal story alert coming in, unexpected personal story alert. And get young on the phone because this is going to involve the collective subconscious or whatever he calls it. There was many times that I didn't know what I was going to be for Halloween, right? But then I grabbed the old lab coat. And I think one time I tried to go to school as underwear man. I think I talked about that. And I think I got sent back home. But I think I used a lab coat for that. And then I was just wearing a pair of underwear. Maybe my father's, maybe my own. Please, God, if there is a God in heaven, please let it be have been my own or never let me find out it wasn't my own. But there was so I'd bust out the old lab coat. Now there was one time I was in some sort of he said, "Geez, if I told the story of the apex, never mind. We'll talk about that in Halloween time." But so I said, "Well, I got the old lab coat. I had a pair of those. Now I had no idea these were Groucho Marx glasses, but the one with the nose, the mustache, and the glasses. I to a kid." In the 80s, I think it was not Groucho Marx glasses. It was like an undercover. That's what spies wore when they went over to Russia, you know, to stay undercover. They wore these special glasses with a fake nose and a mustache, and they were undetectable. So I had no idea who Groucho Marx was, but again, collective unconscious or whatever. So I said, okay, I got this lab coat. And then I got these glasses, and I said, and I don't know what grade I was in. I guess this is what was my destiny, this podcast, because I said, okay, I'll pull it off. I can pull it off. I said, I'm not going to win the costume contest, but I could give a shit about that. But I won't be humiliated either, and at least I don't get one of those damn, you know, my parents were like, geez, we got six kids. We're not buying you one of those plastic Halloween costumes that breaks in 15 minutes, that costs like $15. Believe me, I was full of envy, and occasionally I would get one of those, but not, you know, every year. But so anyway, I was like, I'll pull it off. So I pulled it off, and I remember there was a Halloween parade where you parade around for the adults. Very perverted and demeaning in some level, you know, I guess if it's parents, makes sense, but I got a feeling there wasn't all parents here. But whatever. And at some point, the people were cracking up because I had a routine, you know, but I was like, you know, I was just hamming it up. You know, I'm terrified, but as soon as I got out there in the parade, you know, something in my brain goes, beep, 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 go crazy, bro. And then I started going crazy performing, you know, and I didn't even know what I was doing, but I think I was killing. I'm pretty sure I was killing. But for some reason, I was doing some Groucho Marx moves, which I had no idea. But then people were like giving me, somebody gave me a fake cigar, And they were saying, why don't you say this about, you know, whatever Groucho Marx says, I should have called an attorney or whatever. I don't even know. And I'm sorry, Marx Brothers. I was a Stooges fan. And I never watched it. And I'm sure those guys are brilliant. I'm sure of it, but I never watched any of it. But I think maybe Groucho Marx was like Twitter before Twitter. Like he would be, somebody be like, oh, terrible excuses for being late. And he'd be like, I drove a duck here in front of Froome, you know. Your wife is wonderful. I just, you know, that's why I'm late, you know, stuff like that. I guess those are terrible excuses for being late. My brother is in a giant raincoat and he's got that hair and I don't know what the heck's wrong with him. And they say, well, that's a good excuse for being late if you're not, you know. But anyway, so I was doing the Groucho Marx routine. And I think my point was ever since then, I've tried to keep my hands on a lab coat at all times, white lab coat. I said, geez, I'd like to own an actual science-based lab coat from a science-type organization instead of one I found, you know, in a thrift shop or bought at a costume store, you know. And I'm thinking about Halloween stories. I say, geez, how come there hasn't been one about a lab coat, you know, that when you put it on, well, I guess maybe that is the story about, so I put on, so, but you put on a lab coat and you change into a, this is actually what happened in this situation, but different because I said, I was being driven not by greed and not by survival, but I said, I got to figure out an angle with this podcast. And I always hear people say income streams or diversify. And I said, okay. You know, any time I get involved in that, it ends up being bad. You should just say bad idea, Scooter. Don't, you know, disaster ahead. It's like free tickets on the Titanic, boys. Let's do it. And I say, well, geez, aren't you from the future? Don't you know what's going to happen? Free, did you hear me? Free tickets. You know, there's free food and stuff on there. And drinks. I'm going to start drinking again, boys. Free tickets on the Titanic. So I put back on the old lab coat, you know, like someone cool would pull their leather vest out. Like an old breaker, B-boy, B-girl, goes to the back of their closet and they say, you know, like if it was breaking, you know, if it was like, I know they're making a remake of Gem in the Holograms. But if they were remaking Breakin' 2 Electric Boogaloo, Breakin' Redo Electric Boogaloo, ooh, hint, you know, Hollywood, Turbo, Tesla, you know, Tesla, you know, Elon Musk is definitely going to be in that Electric Boogaloo, Electric Redo, you know, whatever, Electric Redo. Electric Boogaloo Redo, you know, what do we say, Electric Redo? I don't know, but I'm sure, you know, so I slipped on the old lab coat, I searched it, I patted it, and I found one of those things that I still don't know what they're called, not a compass, but the half circle thing, I think that might be a compass too, or maybe it starts with a P, prism parabolagram, no, I think it does start with a P, it's some math thing. And I said, okay, that's a start. And I said, okay, sleep podcast plus a lab coat equals. And I said, what was our other idea? Plus children's parties plus a lab coat plus brushing rich people's teeth. And I said, okay, I think I got an idea here. And I said, well, San Francisco is full of, you know, tourists and water-based things in the Bay Area is full of it. And I said, okay. So I put on the old lab coat and I started hanging around with the areas where people would have questions about marine mammals. So I said, okay, well, I have my lab coat. I'll go down to somewhere where families go with where there's marine mammals. And I'll just hang around. And I had a vague plan in my mind to combine the podcast with this hybrid form of money making. And I didn't know how I was going to make any money doing this, but Well, now talking about it, now it really seems like a bad idea, but it's not that bad an idea. There I was walking outside a marine mammal center or someplace not called that. And I was wearing my lab coat. I was measuring things with the, I'd found one of those short things, what are those called, rulers. And I was measuring things, and I was standing by the water, and it was one of those beautiful days on San Francisco Bay. The sun was shining, the water was churning, the breeze was flowing, and families were taking it all in. And then I saw a father with a daughter and a son. And the daughter seemed to be about 10 years old, and the son was maybe 7, 6-ish, or something, I don't know. And they were looking out at the water, and the daughter said, Daddy, look, there's a dolphin out there. And we all looked where she was pointing, but it was gone, or it was never there. And the dad said, oh, and she said, I didn't see it, honey. And her brother said, oh, there's no dolphin out there. And then the dad said, well, geez, it could have been, some sort of sea lion or a seal. And the daughter kind of sighed, and then she was looking at the same spot. And they saw me with my lab coat, you know, measuring. Essentially, I was just measuring the guardrail, but it looked very official. You know, I was like measuring it inch by inch and testing its structural integrity. But that's when I heard my in, because the daughter said, Daddy, where do dolphins go to sleep? And I said, Scooter, this is your moment to shine. And I straightened out my lab coat, and I made my most official walk. And I said, you know, make sure you don't seem like a creep, Scooter, because this is a family trying to, you know. And I said, oh boy, I don't even have a fake scientist voice. But I said, that's an excellent question, my dear, if you don't mind me saying that. And she kind of looked at me. But I'll tell you what, in most situations, but no, in 60% of situations, a lab coat gives you carte blanche. You know, with people, they say, I can trust that person. They're in a lab coat. In the other 40% of situations, the person says, my God, that person's in a lab coat. You know, let's get out of here. But this was one they said, well, marine mammals in lab coats. And this guy, so I said, well, do you mind if I bend your ear a little bit about where dolphins sleep? Because it's a magical, I said, there's no magic involved, but there is. And I said, look out there at the water. Do you know that a dolphin has lungs just like you and me? And that's when I realized the kids were actually maybe smart. They said, well, not exactly, because the dolphin's lungs have a greater oxygen capacity, and they're more efficient at exchanging O2. And they have a higher CO2. I said, CO2, is that water or carbon dioxide? Okay, sorry. Go ahead. And they talked about, ion exchange, and the dolphins, when they're diving deep, that the oxygen just goes only to their brain, their heart, and their swimming muscles. And then I was like, oh boy, I'm learning something about dolphins here. Great. But then I sensed that they didn't know. And I said, son, you certainly know a lot about marine mammals. You wouldn't happen to spend a day in the Marine Mammal Center, would you? And he's like, I've touched a dolphin's lung. And I said, okay, anyway. Where do you think dolphins sleep? And he said, probably a cave. And I said, oh, tell me more, tell me more. And he said, like an underwater cave, and then they pop up and they got a bed there. And I said, well, wouldn't they dry out down there? Wouldn't they dry out? And he said, well, I said, okay, good point. And I said, don't they have to stay in the water? And then his sister said, they just float in the middle of the water. And I said, okay, well, what about those lungs they have? And she said, well, maybe they swim up and get it. She said, huh, I don't know. And then I said, what about baby dolphins that, you know, they're not strong enough? And they said, well, their mother carries them. I said, well, okay. And I said, why don't you guys step into my dolphin story lab, which is this bench over here. Have a seat, and I will spin you the tale of where or how do dolphins sleep. And then the dad said, don't make that voice around my kids. And I said, where do dolphins sleep? And he said, all right, that's more science. And I said, and then I straightened my lab coat I was wearing. And it, unfortunately, I was going to point towards that Dr. Scooter, but, it didn't say that. But probably not Dr. Sleep, because I think that's taken. I think, that's Dr. Feelgood, but it, definitely not Dr. Feelgood. You don't want that on there around, at a marine mammal area. But I said, kids, have a seat, and I'm going to tell you a little bit. I'm going to tell you a little bit about unihemispheric slow-wave sleep. It's an unusual form of sleep that is deep with slow, obviously slow waves, because I said slow waves. But it helps the brain consolidate memories and recover from daily activities. And then there was a long pause because I said, I was trying to remember the facts that I had written down when I said, hey, I'll be right back. And then I ran off and I said, do not go anywhere. And then I ran off, wrote down all these facts and came back. But I said, as you guys know, because you're so smart, marine mammals spend their whole lives at sea. Now let's talk a little bit about bottlenose dolphins, because that's one of everybody's, you kids fans of bottlenose dolphins? And they kind of shrugged. I said, well, they were telling me how much they like you guys. And then they kind of gave me a grin. But I said, I think we can all agree dolphins need to sleep, right? We can all agree on that. And I said, maybe they have more than one way of sleeping. I said, do you guys ever take a nap? And they said, not anymore, we don't. And I said, when you were in kindergarten, did you ever take a nap? And they said, our little sister's at kindergarten, and she still takes naps. And I said, on a little square rug? And they said, yeah. And I said, don't those rugs smell terrible? And then the kids said and even the dad said, oh, those rugs. And he said, and as a matter of fact, I'm going to call the school. And I said, no. We're talking about dolphins. No, we're calling the school board. But I said, maybe dolphins have two ways of sleeping, kids. Maybe one where they just rest in the water like a log. Like log sleeping, I think they call it, where they're deep asleep. But some part of their mind is still working. Like, hey, kids, do you mind if I ask, do you breathe while you sleep? They say, yeah, of course we breathe, you silly goose. And I said, huh, I wonder where geese sleep. But I said, maybe that's for another performance at a geese sanctuary. But I said, do you guys think about breathing or do you just breathe all night? And they said, we just breathe. And I said, have you ever watched each other sleep, and gone in and said, well, look at how cute, do you guys get along? And they said, no. And then don't you like each other better when you're asleep? They're asleep, your sibling. And they said, oh, yes, of course we do. And I don't know, I think I didn't have a point there. But I said, so dolphins, a lot of times they'll sleep like a log in a deep sleep. And then, but then their brain will say, hey, let's get some air. And then they'll float up and get some air. But I said, could you believe that dolphins can also swim and sleep at the same time? And they said, what? And they said like sleepwalking. And I said, well, I said no, more like a, because they're doing it because they have to, you know, to stay clear of predators. You know, I said, I don't know anything about sleepwalking. You're asking the wrong person. And I said, did your dad ever sleepwalk? And they say, oh yeah. And I said, I bet it's to go get snacks, huh, Dad? And then we all gave the dad a hard time. But I said, so the dolphins, that's where the unihemispheric sleep-a-majig comes in. Because one half of their brain is asleep and the other's awake. And the kid said, no. And I said, yeah. And I said, you won't even believe this when I tell you. One of their eyes is open and one of their eyes is closed. And I said, do you think you could sleep like that? And they said, no. And I said, go ahead and try. And I said, hey, Dad, why don't you go buy some ice? Me and you can get some ice cream. All these kids sleep with one eye open. And then the kids, they had a laugh. And I said, I'm pretty sure I don't know anything about the brain. But I think the opposite side of their brain. So if they're this eye, their right eye is open. And then we got into the thing where it's like, is it my left eye or your left eye? And I said, whatever eye is open, I think the opposite side of your brain's on. But then I said, in the middle of the night, they'll just switch brain. Their brain and their eye will switch. But they'll just keep swimming along. And I said, this isn't based on any science, but I know that a lot of times they'll swim in pairs. And I wonder if we had actual scientists here. Now, I know I'm wearing a lab coat. And that's because I believe in the science of sleep. I don't know anything about it. But I said, you know, they're there so that they each have one eye to keep an eye, you know, on the situation. And then their brain can switch right into a safety mode if they have to go get away from a predator. Or, you know, they see a mermaid and they want to say, hey, Ariel, what's up? Or if they need to get some air. But kids, I can't tell you. If you think that is interesting, wait till I tell you about baby dolphins. And then I said, I'll be right back because I got to go look the... And I said, I'll be right back because I got to go look this up. Okay, kids, because young dolphins, and actually most marine mammals, they actually eat... rest and sleep while their mother tows them along behind her because she can't carry them, obviously, because she doesn't have arms and she needs her flippers to move. But she tows them behind them in her slipstream. Have you guys ever seen a boat before? And then we looked back out on the bay and we watched the wake behind some boats and the wakes behind the ships. And the father was an expert on boating or something. I don't know. I stopped listening to him because a seagull was talking, you know, annoying me. But I said, the mother trailing behind her is enough power in her slipstream. It's called an echelon to tow the baby behind him just with the power of her swimming and the power of the flow of water. And I said, as a matter of fact, the dolphin, the mother and the baby, they can't stop swimming when the baby's a newborn. Because if they do, the baby will start to sink. The babies are called calves, by the way. Because the baby has not enough body fat to just float on its own. But at the same time, the baby can't swim too much because it'll tire the baby out. And the baby, you know, could be too tired to stay safe, or the baby could catch a as we call it, an ocean cold, which is a general term for, you know, some sort of infection or something. So the whole time the baby's floating along behind the mother, sound asleep. The mother is towing them behind when they're asleep. I said, would you guys like that? And they said, well, it's kind of, and then they told me this story about how their brother, I think his name was T, was his nickname, And I said, can I call you T? He said, sure. He said, can I call you doctor? And I said, well, that would be a fraud because I'm not a doctor. But I said, you could call me Slockter. And he said, that sounds weird. And then they called me, they said, can we call you the Slockter? And I said, I guess. And I said, but wouldn't you guys like to be towed behind your mother? And then they said, well, we were, because, you know, you push these strollers around. And they said, T could only sleep in a stroller. And the dad said he would run around in the stroller and, you know, push it. And then the sister, I think her name, I can't remember her name. It was something to do with good weather. I don't know if it was, her name may have been Double Rainbow. It could have been Double Rainbow. But I probably would have remembered that. But she told me how she loved to be. And I said, you guys are like a couple marine mammals. Like, do you guys like to swim? And they said, oh, yeah, yeah. And when we went and got some, it was a pleasant afternoon. And I said, well, geez, I didn't make any money doing that. And then I went home and I said, I got home and I was exhausted. And also I had paid people to do, I ran up to people working at stands. I said, can you do some research for me on where dolphins sleep? Here, I'll pay you $4. And then I bought the ice cream. So the afternoon cost me about $30. So my business plan was at -$30. And I said, well, geez, I thought I was going to diversify my income here, but I said, we might be onto something, Scooter. And I said, well, geez, at least I know I have this lab coat here whenever I need it. And I said, maybe, and I said, is that a thing? Could I be a sleep busker and travel? And I said, is there a room in the street performer world for a man so boring? He bores, you know, I'll bore the street right off you. I'll bore you. And I said, probably not. Now, is there room in the, is there enough marine mammal sanctuaries for me to tour outside? And I said, probably not. And I said, well, this could be a pastime. Another new hobby is where do animals sleep? I don't know. So I want you to close your eyes now and try to imagine that you're a baby bottlenose dolphin named Babooba. A baby bottlenose dolphin named Babooba. And you're being you're in the power of the ocean flowing around you. But the power of your mother's swimming is so magnetic, it tows you behind. And right now, you have a full belly of warm, wonderful mother's milk. And your eyes are so heavy, and you know you're in some sort of, you know you're in some sort of pod of other dolphins and other baby bottlenoses with B names towed behind their mothers. And the sea is pulling you. And the mothers are vigilant and always moving forward to keep you safe. Your belly is warm. And you say, Jesus, how good do I have it here? I had to go out of the womb. But now I'm in a giant womb. I'm making progress. I'm growing. But I'm not independent. But I'm free technically, but I'm not free to swim around, but I've been satiated. And now I'm chugging along. I have a sense of safety. But I also have a sense of movement all around me. I can hear nice sea sounds, bubbles, you know, whales saying, boo, 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 boo. And I I say, it's not bad being a baby bottlenose dolphin named Bermuda. Ba ba boo ba. And you drift off into the sea and you sleep. Good night. Hey, everybody, this is Scooter. I had a little announcement here. Anybody that donated money for the Children's Museum of Montana, anybody that would like to donate money, they were robbed over the July 4th weekend, and one of our listeners helps out there, Lie to Lie. Or anybody that bought a shirt and sent me a picture of them, you didn't even send me a picture of you wearing the shirt, just send me a picture of the shirt. Make sure to head over to sleepwithmepodcast.com/Montana. One of the bonuses is up there. And there might be a second bonus. I'm not guaranteed. But this one, it was the first appearance ever of Kiwi Shavers. You might, those of you that walk in the woods episode, you say, geez, where did this Kiwi Shavers come from? Well, that's where Kiwi Shavers, I first met Kiwi Shavers on the sit, and we go for a kayak ride. It's not a sleep episode, but if you ever wondered, like, what would it be like to go for a kayak ride with Scooter, would it be boring? Yes. Would it be quirky? Yes, check. So go over to sleepwithmepodcast.com/Montana. You could still donate money there. The information's there. And I'll tell you what, you know, if somebody like, oh, geez, what a, you know, I don't know what pie is. Here's what you, if you're going to be on my website already, just open your bank's website in a tab. I haven't written a check yet. I don't even know when. And just send us either $3.14, is that what pi is? Or even $0.31 to Children's Museum of Montana. The information's there. Your bank doesn't charge you to send a check. And then go ahead and listen to that download episode. I'm sure, you know, what if four of you guys send it? Four of you listeners send us 30 cents. That's $1.20, right? So, but yeah, send $3.14 and it'll be funny. You know, just like when you fill up gas for somebody, or maybe I only do this and they say, can we put $20 in? And then you put $19.99. And then you laugh and then they say, well, I never liked you. And then you say, well, I got to settle down to be a friend. So, Children's Museum of Montana, let's move on to the show. Thanks so much.